epic finishes. No one gave the United States a chance that year in the Olympics. Russia was the team, and yet USA prevailed over them to go on to win the gold medal. You know, Pastor Tim has shared with us this life that we're living is to be epic, the way that it's meant to be as we live it in Christ. And he gave us a definition of epic, telling a story about a hero or about an exciting event or adventure. Very great or large, unusual, difficult, or impressive. All those sporting events ended with what I deem as epic finishes. No time on the clock, and the team wins. Overcoming great odds, and they won. Again, God has given us a chance to have an epic life, like Pastor Tim has been telling us. But listen, I believe, church, this morning, God doesn't just desire us to have an epic life or live an epic life. I believe as His children, I believe as His church, God desires us to have an epic finish when we go to leave this life. Amen? I mean, it's more than just living an epic life. It's having an epic finish. You know, this life that Christ has called us into as His followers, as the church, listen, it is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And we have to endure things as we go through this. You know, I don't know about you, but I didn't start this race, and I'm going to call it a race. I didn't start this race too well. I was saved at the age of 11. I was in church, involved in RAs, and just good time. But then as I grow older, and young people, I want to encourage you. It's easy. There's a lot of things in the world that will try to draw you away from the Lord. And unfortunately, I allowed those things to draw me away from the Lord. But praise God, because of His grace and His mercy, in my mid-20s, God was calling me back and I came back. So I didn't start this race well, but listen, I want to finish well. Amen? I want to finish well. There's one thing that I want, I desire more than anything in the world, in life, and that is to hear the sweet words of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, at the end, as I stand before Him, to hear those precious words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." I mean, I know people want to talk about the mansions that's waiting for us in heaven, the streets of gold, the crystal sea. You know, all that's going to be great, and I'm not knocking that or putting that down, but really and truly, I don't need a mansion. All I need is to hear my Lord and Savior say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You finished well. You staggered in the starting blocks, but you finished well." And I was reminded this week of something I was reading, and I was reminded that, listen, it's not how you start. It's not how you start. Those teams and those events, some of them didn't start that well. But boy, did they finish. They finished well. So it's not as important as how you start as to how you finish. You know, think about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul didn't start too well, did he? He started out as Saul, the church persecutor. But he ended as Paul, the church planter. Paul, the evangelist. So I want to look at his life this morning. You know, when I came on board here at Sunrise, we realized we had a little bit of a situation. Pastor Tim Riordan, I'm Tim Rice. So, you know, what are we going to call you? So Pastor Tim and I jokingly call one another, he's 1 Timothy and I'm 2 Timothy. So I think it's appropriate this morning that I'm preaching from 2 Timothy. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me this morning or follow on the screen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 6. We read Paul's words. "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing." May the Lord bless the reading of His word this morning. And notice again there in verse 6, the time of my departure has come. Paul understood this was Paul. Paul was imprisoned here at this time. Paul understood this was his second imprisonment. He understood his life was about to come to an end. He was waiting execution. The life as he knew it was about then, and he knew that. So he's writing to his protege, young Timothy, and he said, my time of my departure has come. You know, as I look at Paul's life and as I consider his life and as I think about those video clips that we saw earlier, I think the key to living the epic life, but more importantly, to finishing, having an epic finish to our lives, is we must being the game. Now, every one of those teams that had the epic finish that won, they had put themselves, they had positioned themselves in the game where they could have that epic finish. They were in the game. They didn't halfway through the game, they didn't just give up. They didn't just quit. They kept striving. They kept fighting. And we see that in Paul's life. They had put themselves in a position to finish. Paul was a man who was determined to live his life for God. He was determined to live his life for God. To have his life in the center of God's will. To have his life doing the purpose that God had purposed him for. An epic life and an epic finish. You know, as we look back at Paul's life, you know, that epic life that he lived, did Paul's life turn out the way that he had hoped? I don't know if we could say yes to that. Of what Paul envisioned? I don't believe so. But I do believe, listen, here's the key, I do believe that Paul's life turned out the way that God wanted it to turn out. Doing what God wanted him to do with his life. And he finished well. He finished in an epic way. I want to remind us this morning that really and truly, that's all that matters. You know, as we live our lives, it doesn't matter what position we hold in life, what job we have, what we attain as our goals and our desires. It doesn't matter what all we accumulate of the things of this world. It doesn't matter how much money we have in our banking accounts. In the end, listen, church, in the end, what will matter is what we've done with this life that God has given us and what we've done for His kingdom and His glory and His honor. That's what's going to matter, because everything that we accumulate here stays here. We don't take it with us. It stays here. That's what's important. That's what is. Three things I want you to see this morning that will not only encourage us and help us live that epic life that Pastor Tim has been showing us, but to help us have an epic finish. To finish the way that God desires every one of His children. The way that God desires the church, His church, the body of Christ, to finish. Look at the first thing I want you to see this morning. Paul entered the race. And we see this in verse 7. He said, I fought the good fight. To fight the good fight, you got to step in the ring, or you got to enter the race. You can't stand on the sidelines and say, I'm in the race. As a football player, two of my sons played football all of their life, and they played football, but they didn't get into the game. They were on the sidelines. But until they got into the game, were they playing football? They were just observers. God wants us to get into the race. What Paul was indicating was the fact that he had entered into God's plan. He had entered into God's purpose for his life. He was doing God's work with his life. You know, that day on the Damascus Road, when Paul was converted, when he was blinded, when he had his meeting with the Lord, on that day, Paul surrendered his life and everything about it to the Lord Jesus Christ. What I want us to understand this morning is we can never live that epic life that Pastor Tim's been talking about. We can never live that life that's meant to be. We can never have an epic finish to our life until we have surrendered our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be living a life. You may think it's pretty special, pretty neat, but listen, it's not the epic life. The epic life involves the person of Jesus Christ. And you can't have that epic life outside of Christ. And to have that epic finish, you've got to be living your life in the center of His will, doing His will and purpose for your life. That's an epic life. That's an epic finish. And you have to get in to the race. My wife, Barbara, used to run marathons, 26.2 miles. Personally, I have never finished a full marathon. You know why? I've never entered one. I've never entered one. I've never had a desire to run 26.2 miles. Never had that desire. But she has. And she entered numerous marathons and finished those marathons. You see, to finish, you've got to enter. Paul talks about, that's what, you know, Paul talks about he was in the race in Philippians chapter 3. Verses 12, 13, and 14. Listen to Paul's words. He says, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." The difference between this passage and the passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4 is there Paul was saying, "I'm still in the race, I'm still running." And in 2 Timothy we see that Paul sees the finish line. He not only sees the finish line, but he's crossed over it. He's finished. He's finished. He got himself in the race and he finished the race. Listen, church, we don't get into the race just to say that we're in the race. The very first marathon my wife ran was in Hawaii. 26,000 runners. A lot of those people that ran that race that day just got in the race just to be in the race, because we found out later a lot of large corporations, Japanese corporations, pay their employees to go run that race. So the only reason they were not really there to run the race. They were there because they were being paid. They had a little benefit of being there. God wants us as the church, as His children, to enter the race, to run the race. But not just run the race, He desires us to finish the race. Paul had entered the race. And our second point is this: he finished the race. Again, we see this in verse 7. He says, "I have finished the course." I have finished the course. He got in it, and he finished it. As I said earlier, in December of 1999, my wife Barbara entered her first marathon, and I traveled with her to encourage her, to cheer her on through this. She entered that race. She endured the hardships of that race. She had some obstacles that she had not prepared for. It rained the first half of the race. I mean, not just, it monsooned, which made it difficult. We lived in South Georgia at the time, and she had trained on very flat. We got over there, and the course ran up and around Diamond Head, the extinct volcano. She was not prepared for that, but she stuck with it. She endured, and she finished the race. And here's the key. Here was a woman who 9 months before that day couldn't finish a 5K. She couldn't run 3.1 miles. And 9 months later, she's running 26.2 miles. She finished. That's what God wants us to do, church. He wants us to not only see the finish line, but He wants us to cross over the finish line. He wants us to finish in an epic way. That was Paul. Listen, as Paul wrote these words, and I thought about that this week, all the things that Paul had endured. I mean, really and truly, if you think about Paul's life, it was a bloody race for him. It was an enduring race. He had endured so much, but yet he saw the finish line and he crossed over it. Personally, I've seen what it takes for a person to enter a marathon. Like I said, I don't have a desire to run 26.2 miles. If somebody was to put a gun to my head and say, "You're going to have to run 26.2 miles, I'd simply say, "Pull the trigger." I don't have a desire to run that long. It takes determination. It takes endurance. Listen to these words and think about our life as Christians. It takes determination. It takes enduring. It takes going through things that we can't even imagine sometimes. Same thing as running a marathon. But listen, Paul, living this epic life, and he was determined to finish no matter the cost. And I think we see that heart desire in him in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, where he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. In other words, Paul was saying, whatever it takes, Lord, I'm going to finish this race. You called me to enter this race, and I'm going to run it to the best of my ability. And Lord, with your help, I'm going to finish it. Over the years, I've been just overwhelmed at different things that I've seen at these races my wife has run. The most unbelievable one that I've seen was at that marathon in Hawaii. I'm standing at the 7-mile marker and I'm watching all the runners go by me before I move to another point in the race. And all the runners came by me, and then just a few minutes later, they came this young man. He had two runners running with him. And I'm not sure what his physical handicap was, but he had what I call the wrist crutches. And he was in this marathon. He really couldn't run. But he had already made it to mile 7, and I was just overwhelmed. I was inspired. Not enough to get in a race, but I was inspired. I couldn't believe this young man. He looked to be in his early 20s, mid-20s, and he was just enduring. Later on, we were told, after all the crowds had left, all the hoopla was gone, 14 hours later, that young man crossed the finish line. He was determined. He entered the race. And with God's help and God's strength, he was determined to finish that race. That was Paul. That was Paul. God had called him to enter this race, this epic life, and he was going to finish. It would be an epic finish. Third thing I want you to see is this. Verse 7, I have kept the faith. Paul kept the faith during this whole time. Despite all that Paul had endured, he had continued the course and he had finished the course. But more than that, he had kept his faith and his trust with his Savior, Jesus. Jesus had gotten him through all the verbal threats, through all the physical threats, through the beatings, through the shipwreck, snake bite, imprisonments, all the hardships that Paul had endured. He had kept his faith. He had not taken his eyes off the Lord Jesus. He had stayed true to his calling and to his relationship with Jesus. Listen, the enemy wants to do more than anything than to get us to focus our eyes on our situations, on our circumstances, and take our eyes off of Christ, because he knows we're weakened when we do that. But we must keep focus. We must keep our faith. Paul understood the truth that all that he had accomplished and proclaimed, he could say this, for I am confident in Philippians 1:6, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. He knew that Christ was going to see him to the end. He may not be able to see the end at times through those beatings and through all that he endured, but he knew Christ had called him and Christ would see him through it. And we must remember that today, church, as we're going through those difficult times, as we're going through those circumstances and those situations that we just don't understand. It makes no sense. But we can always turn to Christ and let him make sense out of it. Amen? Christ would do that for us. You know, Paul understood the truth that he had come to this point in this time in his life. And as he looked back, I can almost imagine as Paul looked back over his life as he was in prison and as he told Timothy, my end is coming near. And as he looked back over his lifetime and all the things that he had endured, all the things that he had lived through, I can't help but think maybe that great verse that he wrote to the church at Philippi, Philippians 4:13. He said, I didn't do it on my own strength, but I did it through him who strengthens me. That's the only way Paul made it to the finish line. That's the only way. Because of the encouragement of Christ, because the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, Paul was able to finish. Church, this life, this epic life that God has called us into is not going to be easy. Again, I've referred to it as a marathon. It is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's not a cakewalk. I like those cakewalks at the schools they have. You walk around, stand on a square, and get a cake. That's not the life that God has called us into. It's a struggle. Listen, we're in a war with the enemy. And his attacks can be brutal. Sometimes we don't understand. But we can endure, like Paul did. In fact, you know, Jesus gave us a warning. In John chapter 16, verse 33, he told us we'd have a tough time of it. He says, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. But then he says this, but take courage, I have overcome the world. How did Paul endure? Because he trusted in Christ. He rested in Christ. He let Christ be strength. That's how he endured, not only and lived that epic life, but had an epic finish to his life. You know, as I was preparing this, I couldn't help but think about Job in the Old Testament. Think about Job's life. And think about, you know, faith. Despite everything Job endured, despite everything that, and Job lost everything. He lost everything. And yet, through all of his circumstances, there's one thing that he didn't lose. And no, I'm not talking about his wife who wanted him to just curse God and die. I'm talking about his faith. Job lost all of his possessions, lost everything, even lost his health. But the one thing that Job did not lose was his faith. In fact, he attests to this fact in Job 19, verse 25. He says, as for me, I know my Redeemer lives. And at the last, he will take his stand. Job says, whatever happens to me in this life is okay because I know my Redeemer lives and he's going to take his stand and I'm going to be with him. Job had his faith in God. He never lost that fact. I believe next to losing one's soul and going to hell, I think for the believer, for the Christian, for the child of God, the greatest tragedy of life would be to come to the brink of eternity and discover that he or she has missed God's will for his or her life. And in fact, wasted his or her life on fruitless, meaningless things of this world. God calls us to live the epic life. But not just live the epic life, to finish in an epic way that brings him glory and honor and pleases him. And listen, we don't do it alone. We do it together. That's the great thing. God has given us his word. He's given us the Holy Spirit that Skeeter preached on, that epic power. But listen, he's given us one another. He's given us the body of Christ we're a part of, to do it together, to encourage one another, to cheer one another on. I love at the end of those races that my wife ran, that as individuals would finish, oh, they were just exhausted. But listen, they turned themselves away from themselves and their own agony, and they'd turn back and they'd go back down the course, and they'd cheer the others as they were having struggles and coming across. They'd cheer them on and encourage them on. That's what it's all about. That's what being the church is all about, living that epic life of encouraging one another along. In fact, the writer of Hebrews speaks to that fact. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Listen, we know that it can be done because others, like Harold Smith, has finished the race. He ran the race. We've got others who are cheering us on. I have a vision in heaven of people clapping and saying, "You can do it, you can do it." But we're to do that to one another now, amen? You know, when we find one another struggling, come up beside that person, put your arm around them. One of my fondest memories will be of dear Harold, and last Sunday, he knew the week that I had before me this past week. I had just a phenomenal busy week. And on top of that, in fact, Pastor Tim apologized after he found out. He said, "I wouldn't have asked you to preach." I said, no. But last Sunday, I was crossing the atrium, and Harold stopped me. He said, "You're preaching next Sunday, and I know the week that you've got." He said, "I'm praying for you." He said, "In fact, I want to," and he laid his hands up on both of my shoulders, and right there in the atrium, started praying over me. I'll never forget that moment. But listen, whether he realized it or not, what he was doing was encouraging me. And that's what that verse in Hebrews is all about. We're to encourage one another. It's a battle. It's grueling, this life. But it's so rewarding. It's so rewarding. And that's what Paul was talking about when he talked about the crown of righteousness. He knew he had finished the race. He had run the race. He had finished it in an epic way. And he knew he was going to stand before the Lord, and the Lord was going to reward him. And he speaks to the fact that he's going to reward all who finish like that. What about you this morning? Are you in the race? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Have you accepted him as your Savior and Lord? You're not in the race. You're literally just standing on the sidelines if you've not done that. You're not in the race. Enter the race today. Ask Jesus into your heart. Maybe you're in the race and you've kind of staggered out of the starting blocks. Listen, this morning, you can pick up your stride. Let the Lord Jesus have full control of your life. Let him be Lord of your life. Determine today, May 24th, 2015, that you're going to finish this race that God has called you in an epic way. You still got time to turn it around and finish. Keep your faith. Keep your faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you've called us to an epic life, to live our lives for you, Father, to bring you glory and honor. God, thank you that you have seen to every detail pertaining to this life that you desire us to live. God, you have given us your written word. God, you've given us our helper, the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, you've told us that you would never leave us nor forsake us, that you'd be with us always. So, Father, we have no excuses for not living this life in an epic way, the way that it was meant to be lived. And God, you've given us one another to encourage one another and to strengthen one another. So we have no excuses of not finishing our lives in an epic way. So God, this morning I pray that we, your body, the church here at Sunrise, would do that very thing. God, that we would live that epic life, not just here on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights or in our small groups, but God, when we're out and about, like Brother Harold, if we find ourselves in the subway, God, looking for those opportunities to demonstrate our epic life, but more importantly, to bring glory and honor to you. God, help us finish in an epic way for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we stand and sing this morning, I want to invite you to come. I'm going to be standing down front. You come. You may have been expecting Pastor Tim to be here. He's here in spirit. You come. You may need to just pray. But if you want to join the church, accept Christ, and get into the race, you come this morning. Whatever God has spoken to you this morning, you come as we sing.